Verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Or as the footnote says, "goodwill among men, among people." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem, now, and see this thing that's taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God.
When I was a kid, there was this one day I was troubled about something. I don't even remember what it was. My father noticed, and he comes over to me and he places his hands on my head. And he says, "Shalom, son. Do you know what that means?" "Yes," I nodded. He said, "It meant peace." Then my daddy, he knelt beside me. And he took my face in his big, calloused shepherd's hands. He said, "Yes, peace, more." And then he put a finger on my heart. And he said, "Shalom, God's highest and most complete good be upon you." That is my prayer for you, my son. He left his staff with me, and I've looked for it. What he mentioned, shalom, all these years. When the angels came, there was no hint of wind, no clouds, just stars. So many stars. He showed himself to us suddenly. And there was an angel brighter than stars who spoke and said, "Do not be afraid. I have good news. Your Savior has... Your Savior has been born. And he lies in a manger. And then quiet. As if the whole world is waiting to breathe. A Savior. God's highest and most greatest good for us. For me. And then suddenly, multitudes of angels shattered the silence, saying, "Glory, glory, glory. God is on earth.
is peace on earth. My Father's prayers I've seen finally. Shalom.
What an experience the shepherds had that night. Imagine that there you are, tending sheep, same old thing that you've done night after night, year after year. Sitting in the cold, maybe a still, quiet night, but there's turmoil around you politically. Maybe there are relationship struggles you're facing, financial struggles. Peace in here? Not so much. But then comes the announcement of the angels. A Savior has been born. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, peace on earth has been disrupted. God's design for humanity was one of us living in peace, walking and talking with God, living His highest and greatest good. But all that was thwarted. Satan came along with the intent to steal, kill, and destroy the peace that God had designed us to enjoy with Him. Adam and Eve's choice to sin took them on a path away from God, turning them away from how they were to originally experience life with Him. A path that has now brought us conflict and pain. And ever since, we have been lost in darkness. The only way for humanity to be rescued was for peace to be restored by God providing a Savior. Isaiah 9:2 tells us, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." Jesus as the light of the world, the one who was there at the beginning of creation, came to deal with sin once and for all, and to shine a light on the path to peace. The announcements to the shepherd that night was good news of great joy, because a Savior had come. God's plan to restore us, to lead us back to that place of peace, had arrived in the form of a baby. Last week, Alan spoke to us about the words of hope through the prophet Isaiah. And we read, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." As the Prince of Peace, He brings release to those who have been living in exile, a peace that we were created to know and experience, with a right relationship with God and with one another. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, shows us the path to peace. And we read of this path in Luke 1, verses 78 to 79. "Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break on us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." The Message paraphrases this last line as, "Then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace." What is peace? Well, Webster's World Dictionary defines it as freedom from war, a state of harmony, serenity, or quiet. But peace in the biblical sense means much more than this. The deepest meaning of peace is from the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom, in its core meaning, is to be whole, or complete. It conveys the idea of a positive blessing, especially that of a right relationship with God. The peace of God is full, satisfying, rich. It means more than just, you know, a feeling of calmness or the absence of war. The Stoic philosopher Epictetus said, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he's unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more than ever for outward peace." Peace isn't just the absence of difficulty. It goes much deeper. The angels sang of something more real and enduring than just some temporary lull of war and strife. The good news that they proclaimed is not that God had sent a soldier or a judge or a reformer, but that he had sent a Savior to meet people's greatest need, which is restoration with God. On that night, on a hillside near Bethlehem, the angels declared that peace is available. And in just one single verse from the Bible, we find out where to find this peace. Peace is from God, and it comes to us through Jesus Christ. The peace is a bringing of us into the presence of God, who loves us more than we could fathom. There was a man who was in the hospital who was close to death, and a minister came to visit him and said, "Have you made your peace with God?" And his answer was, "I didn't know we'd ever quarreled." Well, people can be in a place of separation or disquiet, not realizing that their issue is the relationship with God, that they are estranged from Him. It's not so much that they haven't made peace with God, as the minister said, but rather that they have not accepted and received His peace. God's peace comes through knowing and having a personal relationship with Jesus. When the shepherds heard the good news, they didn't just kind of sit there and say, "Wow, cool." They got up and they traveled to Bethlehem. We have to come to Jesus, receiving the peace that He has to offer. It's only through Christ that we can have true peace. Jesus is our living peace. The peace that we receive from Him goes beyond our circumstances, going directly into our heart and our mind. It's a peace that enables us to live in a relationship with God, be able to live in harmony with one another. If you have traveled to Bethlehem and responded to Jesus' call and have received His peace, His forgiveness, but maybe you find, you know, right now I don't feel like I'm living in this state of peace. Well, it may be because of a path that you are currently on. When we don't experience peace in our lives, it's when we are on paths that Jesus never intended us to be taking. The story is told of a father who was vacationing with his family, and he came across a large sign that read, "Road closed, do not enter." The man, however, proceeded around the sign because he was confident that it would save them time. His wife was a little resistant to this adventure, but there was no turning back for this persistent road warrior. After a few miles of successful navigation, he began to boast about his level of discernment. His proud smile was quickly replaced with humble sweat when the road led to a washed-out bridge. He turned the car around and retraced his tracks back to the main road. And when they arrived at that original warning sign, he was greeted by large letters on the back of the sign, "Welcome back, stupid." Sometimes we wander off and get on the wrong path, and sometimes we snub the signs and head off thinking, "Oh yeah, we know best." How often have we all done that? But heading down that wrong path does not lead to peace. Like Adam and Eve, we can think, "Oh yeah, we know best." and that in order for us to be happy, we have to be completely in charge of our lives. But the outcome only leads to a dead end, to a washed out bridge. We can find ourselves not at peace when we're on the path that maybe leads to deeper and deeper debt instead of financial freedom. Craving more of what we think we need. And how much do we do that at Christmas? Only to discover those things don't satisfy. Paths that lead to destruction of relationships instead of strengthening them. Giving into anger, hatred, fear, and mistrust instead of caring for one another. Paths that lead to secrecy instead of transparency. Paths that lead to addiction instead of freedom, when life just becomes darker and more closed in. We can search for peace in all the wrong places, but the path to peace is only in following Christ. Romans 8:5 tells us, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Listen to this comment by Anne Graham Lotz. She says, knowing God is more than just being saved or being born again. Just as knowing my husband is more than just saying marriage vows at the wedding altar. Knowing God involves an intimate, personal relationship that is developed over time, through prayer and getting answers to prayer, through Bible study and applying its teaching to our lives, through obedience and experiencing the power of God, through moment by moment filling of the Holy Spirit. God gives me peace and joy within as I put myself into His hands, trusting Him to infuse my life with His love. We follow the path to peace through reading God's Word, through prayer, through the filling of the Holy Spirit and keeping our minds on what the Spirit desires. Christ in us gives us the victory over the sin that just wages war against us. Day by day, moment by moment, we can choose to live by the Spirit, resulting in the presence of His peace. Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace is from God. The proclamation of the angels of the birth of Christ tells us that God cares for us, and He offers us life, peace with Him. And we come into that relationship with Him as we open up ourselves to His Spirit. And He then works in our lives. And we see love, faithfulness, righteousness, and peace. Colossians 3:15 to 17 tells us, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Jesus came to restore peace, and make a path to peace for us, to walk down as we follow Him. Peace comes as we are reconciled to God and walk in His ways. Admitting our weaknesses and surrendering our pride, following the signposts that He has set for us in His Word. Reverend Edmund Hamilton Sears wrote two hymns in his life, and one of them is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, which was composed in 1849. Reverend Sears lived in New England and during a real chaotic time in America's history. The gold rush had started and it caused many men to go and to leave their families, go to California in search of money and notoriety. I should tell you that when I go and visit family that I have down in California, I love to go to some of these old gold rush towns. Right now, there are these small, quaint little tourist towns. But years ago, this is where people were drawn, trying to seek fortune. And it destroyed many families. Then in the mid-1800s, Reverend Sears also saw the rise of the Industrial Revolution, where there was this mass manufacturing. New machines required skilled workers, and many families left their farms and they moved into big cities. More factories were built, the cities then soon became overcrowded, and consequently, culture changed. Many didn't live with the same priorities of church and family that had once really characterized their communities. Rather, what they did was they were competing for jobs and for gold. It doesn't sound all that different from today, does it? We still compete for better jobs, more money, popularity, fulfillment. Those waning priorities caused Reverend Sears to grow concerned for people and their faith, resulting in the words that he penned that can just as easily apply to our lives today. In verse 3 of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, it says, "And ye, beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing." Rest beside the weary load and hear the angels sing. What message did the angels sing? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. The Prince of Peace gives us peace in our heart. Peace in the midst of busyness, in the midst of stress. Peace maybe even in the midst of quiet. We can miss this peace that he offers by following different paths, by being so consumed by the world around us that we miss his words to us. He calls us to come to him. He has come to save us, to restore us. As we sang in the carol earlier, "O little town of Bethlehem, so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in." To have peace involves receiving Jesus' forgiveness and right standing before God, resting in his love, relaxing in his care, following his leading. This is the path we are to follow. Will you pray with me? And just before I pray, hear these words as Jesus speaking to you today. "I am the Prince of Peace. As I said to my disciples, I say also to you, peace be with you. Since I am your constant companion, my peace is steadfastly with you. When you keep your focus on me, you experience both my presence and my peace. Worship me as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Prince of Peace. You need my peace each moment to accomplish my purposes in your life. Sometimes you're tempted to take shortcuts in order to reach your goal as quickly as possible. But if the shortcut requires turning your back on my peaceful presence, you must choose the longer route. Walk with me along the paths of peace. Enjoy the journey in my presence." Lord, we thank you that you have come, that you have come to restore us, to bring us back into a right relationship with the Father. And I'm thankful that you don't call us stupid when we have headed off in a wrong direction and come back, that you welcome us with open arms. Lord, may we follow the path to you, to travel the road to Bethlehem, to open our lives to receive your forgiveness, to have you indwell our lives. And Lord, may we follow the path of what your word tells us. May our hearts desire you and your peace. Lord, flood our soul with tranquility and with thankfulness. And fill us with your spirit that we might walk through this season with thankfulness and praise, following your path. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.